Welcome to Talking Success, the podcast series that focuses on everything fintech. I'm your host, Aaron Franks, and each week I'll be joined by a series of experts in the field who have a wealth of knowledge to share. It's time to meet this week's guest, so grab a coffee and let's start talking success.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of Talking Success. Today, I am joined by none other than Mr. Paul Harris, who is the country head of Flutterwave, who probably needs no introduction. If you're a cricket fan, you probably know Paul from his previous career. I know nothing about cricket at all. I've been to Lords, I think, once, and I swore I'd never go back because I was thoroughly bored. But that's not taking anything away from you, Paul. I'm sure it's a great game if you're into it, right? I just prefer to hit a ball that's not moving. And that's why I play golf. So, yeah, hitting a moving ball with pads and... I don't know, Paul, anytime you stop for tea for half time and sandwiches and then you go back and buy, I don't know, call it a sport. Anyway.
You don't actually have sandwiches. You don't actually have sandwiches.
Oh, you do in the UK? You have cucumber sandwiches in the UK, places, huh?
In some places you will, but I don't think I ever had a sandwich of tea. But I hear what you're saying. Thanks for that. Look, I loved it obviously while I did it, but now into other things.
So from cricket to fintech, right? I mean, there's probably not too many people that can claim that. So how on earth did that all come about?
Yeah, it was actually lucky. While I was playing, I met a guy called Quibus Deploy, and he was starting a wallet business for students. Well, actually, it wasn't necessarily for students. It just happened to end up that way.
Yeah.
Called Soulbox.
Yes.
We were looking to raise some cash. I knew a couple of influential people. He said, can I help him out? We joined forces. Raised some money for that business. And then he said, look, you know, what are your plans? And I was like, well, I was toying with the idea of retiring. And I thought, well, no time, nothing now. I retired and joined that business. Was fortunate that it was a good business. Exited out of that business in 2020. Spent a bit of time with Ozo. And then this opportunity with Flutterwave came up. So sort of been passionate about payments ever since I it was actually while I was playing still. It was actually 2 years while I was playing we were doing it with Quibus, and then I sort of retired 2 years in. But I've been sort of payment mad ever since. Mainly alternative payments and generally throughout Africa is my passion.
Amazing. You know what? I didn't realize our paths really crossed because I knew Quibus as well. I was introduced to him 4 or 5 years ago. No. 6-7 years ago, and I met him when I remember him coming into the office, big guy, right? He's quite a strong character, yes. And he came in and he was talking about Soulbox and he was drawing it all on a whiteboard and how it was going to work with retailers and you landed on a unicorn. You're at Flutterwave. Now I think your kind of role here, because we know each other, we've met in the past, your role here is kind of to relaunch Flutterwave, right, here in South Africa. Talk to us a bit about why there's a relaunch, what sort of happened historically, and why is there a relaunch now?
Well, I think Flutterwave is obviously a ginormous business in the rest of Africa. And you know, any scale-up, at the time they were a startup, but any scale-up business goes through, you know, ways and means of doing things. And their ways and means of doing things was they ran everything from Nigeria. And we all know it's quite difficult to run, you know, expand a business from one location. You need certain experts in the industry, in the area. You know, there's local nuances that you don't have in sort of Nigeria that you have here in SA. You know, it's connections. We know in South Africa, anywhere, but especially in South Africa, connections is a big part about doing business. You know, the regulatory environment is completely different. So Flutterwave changed their whole strategy and they decided they were going to have sort of area CEOs or country CEOs and in sort of key areas, South Africa being one of them. I'd met GB quite a while ago, the founder of Flutterwave, and through a few mutual connections, we reconnected and asked me if I would like to take up the challenge. It is a large one. The payment space in South Africa is competitive.
Yeah.
Under no illusions that it's going to take a lot of hard work. But I do believe that the product that we have has got, you know, it's really, 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 really strong. It can solve a lot of problems, especially for the SMEs, which I think have been underserved in South African banking in general, but especially in payments, really underserved. So I think that you know, we'll chat a bit more about what we offer, but in general, I think SMEs is the market we'll target in our relaunch, although we do have large enterprise merchants. Enterprise merchants will always come. But the sales cycles are always long. You know, it's arduous. Everyone's tending to go for the same business. Because you know there aren't many, first of all, enterprise merchants, and there's a few players in the payment space, and everyone tends to go off to the same enterprise guys. And in my opinion, it's a race to the bottom in price. So you know, focusing on SMEs, focusing on the 2.5 million. Well, there's a debate on how many there are, but 2.5 million SMEs that are out there, and trying to service them well.
And it's a focus on domestic payments, right? So within country, or is there a cross-border element to that as well? What's kind of where do you see the business going?
So that is a very good question. In the beginning, it'll be local, certainly getting local presence within South Africa, building a brand. I mean, the brand throughout Africa is really good. But if you ask anyone in South Africa what Flutterwave is, and I don't think you'll have many that'll know what it is or who we are or what we do. So getting the brand out there, building a client base, building a merchant base, building reputation with the banks, building reputations with the regulators. And just, it's a very small space. As I mentioned before, the payment space in SM, everyone kind of knows each other. It seems like I've maybe come sort of through the back door to get here. But certainly coming in with a bang, we will see us very soon. We're coming in with a bang. But certainly to, first of all, service the domestic market. And then there's always a plan to – it depends. So let's look at it this way, right? You've got merchants, so domestic merchants definitely. We'll definitely at the same time be servicing international merchants because we do have international merchants in our books.
Yeah.
Already, that will be trading in SA. So in that sense, both sides, domestic and international. But in terms of I think what you meant by that was moving money out the country.
Yeah.
We do have a product called Send. Send has been incredibly successful into Nigeria out of various European, American, and other African countries. That is a plan in the works, but that'll be further down the line.
Is that a challenge here in South Africa, given sort of exchange controls? Is that a big hurdle to try and navigate?
I think moving money in Africa in general is a hurdle. South Africa, moving money in is not too bad. Getting money out is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's incredibly expensive. I heard a great analogy the other day. I can't remember who said it, so I can't give them credit. So it wasn't me, but I'm just regurgitating it.
Yeah.
It was, it's easier to send money from the US or the UK into Africa than it is into Africa. So what I mean by that is it between two African countries. Now, for me, that is absolutely ridiculous. We should be able to send money easier on the continent. It shouldn't be expensive. There's a lot of migrant workers. I'm passionate about this. There's a lot of migrant workers that, move. Let's take South Africa, for example. I mean, how many Zimbabweans are working in South Africa? And sometimes 10% it costs for them to get money home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. These guys are on the, a lot of them are on the breadline, low LSM, and they, getting nailed 10% to move money across border. For me, that is sort of, bordering on criminal. So there's got to be ways. We feel we've got ways that can do it cheaper, do it quicker, and make it easier to receive the money on the other end. I think that the regulator in SA, they're trying to open it up. I think that there's been some, they're risk adverse, which I understand why you don't want money leaking out your borders. I totally get that. But for legitimate reasons, and the digital game has changed how we do these things. Long gone are the days where you take 1,000 rand and go deposit it to get it to cross border. Now you can do it all digitally on your phone. Send money, it's there in milliseconds. So, the regulators are going to have to change the way they think about moving money, and they are, to give them credit. It'll take time. And then how do you regulate it? That's the key piece, I think, to it. Before you got to get an Adler license, they like getting hen's teeth, and they cost a lot of money. The reporting element to it is the tricky part. That's where the digital sort of game comes into play.
Talking digital and going back to payments a little bit more, in terms of Flutterwave's business model here in South Africa, is it a combination of, or is it solely e-com online, so card not present, or is there an element of card present, so looking at sort of, you know, retail, POS, etc.?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So we do have a POS option, which we do in other countries. I think that, firstly, to answer your question directly, in the beginning, it certainly won't be. It'll just be online, yeah. So card not present. The e-commerce space, and not just the e-commerce space, the usual sort of, you'll have payment links, you'll have sort of WhatsApp payments, you'll have Facebook payments, you'll have, you know, all the various different ways to get a payment link out there, but it would all be card not present payments. Recurring payments, I think, is a big opportunity in SA. Mm. I don't think it's been done properly. I think that it's expensive. It wasn't as secure. I think now 3DS, it's a lot more secure. Yeah. There is a POS option, but going POS in South Africa, then you're going up against the banks. And, you know, once again, I think it's a race to the bottom in price. You know, you won't be able to compete. And there's big players in the game. You get the likes of Yoko. You know, you're going to come in, you know, it's a market that's already been, in my opinion, saturated by the banks. I mean, if you look at what Capitec did for a long period of time, right in the very beginning, they went off to sort of, you know, banking the individual. Yeah. That was their first point of call. Then they went, okay, hold on, there's something in this acquiring game. So they decided to put their POS machines in every single, look, every second store's got Capitec acquiring machines. Look, they did a very good job at it. But, you know, going up against the big four or five banks, you know, in store, I've got no interest.
It's interesting. You're looking at the SME market, and I appreciate, you know, the big retailers, you know, they're sort of tied in with banks, or they've got Ingenico devices and what have you. But if you look at sort of the SME sector, or even the informal sector, you know, looking at being able to use soft POS, I was just chatting to Mark Elliott from MasterCard. He's on in a couple of weeks' time. We were talking about soft POS and sort of how that would work here in Africa, but specifically here in South Africa. We're seeing some of the banks already sort of launching that. F&B have got it. Absa have got it. You know, you look at some of the other sort of traditional POS companies, Yoko, Zikoka, et cetera. You know, there needs to be sort of some innovation around that, because, you know, why as a small merchant would I need to buy a POS when I've got a phone? If I've got a phone that can accept payments, why do I need a POS? What's your view?
Look, I think I agree with you totally. And also, why do I have to have, why do I actually have to have my card physically with me? I get it. I think in the informal, we've got to separate them. I think your SME market and your informal, two separate discussions. I think your informal will take a while because it's a cash-driven society.
Yeah.
There, you know, it doesn't matter if you have your phone, if you have, an old-school type POS. You know, if the guy's got cash, you're cash. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, that's a whole discussion on how to get rid of cash. We were sitting on a panel the other day, you and I. We were discussing cash and, you know, decashing society. That's a completely different discussion. I think that there is a space for it. The soft POS in the smaller SMEs and in the SME market. I just think that is. I think eventually, to your point, it's going to go away. You're not going to have a piece of hardware, or your hardware will be your phone. You know, you'll have an app where you'll have everything on your app. There's no need to pay the 1,000 rand or whatever it costs. You know, I think there are some soft POS machines out there now for $4.99, but you won't have to pay it.
No.
You know, I think fees will come down. I think a lot of these soft POS fees are exorbitant. You know, north of 6%, which is incredibly expensive, especially for for an SME who's got, you know, generally got small margins.
Small margins.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be disruption in that space in the physical point of sale space. But my focus right now is on digital and on e-commerce. I think that's where we're going to see the payment space boom. It already is booming. I think that we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg in South Africa yet,
no,
or in Africa yet. I think we're behind the curve in terms of Europe and the US, and that's for obvious reasons, like the sort of disbursement of people, the fact that data isn't readily available, although it's becoming more and more available. The days of people saying their smartphones are an issue, I don't think that is the case anymore. I think almost everybody has a smartphone. So, it is getting it's ripe for it's the next frontier really of payments and the digital movement.
It was interesting. I said to you I was in the UK for a couple of weeks. I hadn't been back for a while, and I was just booking some tour tickets, like bus tour or something like that. Yes. So I downloaded this app, right? I chose the tour I wanted. It was Tower London, right? I downloaded the thing. I went, yeah, I want that. It didn't even take me away from that page, right? This is on my phone. And it said, play with Apple Pay. Click. That was it. Authenticate. Bought ticket in my in my wallet. It was unbelievable. And that wasn't the first time that happened. I think the other thing that I noticed a lot, and we're starting to see here in South Africa, is BNPL. So every shop I went into in the UK, it's Klarna and it's, buy now, pay later, and, click here and scan this code and you're kind of on. You think there's room for that here in South Africa? Do you think it's going to take off as much as it has in other markets?
100% yes, I do. But you have seen that a lot of these buy now, pay later fly-by-nights have come in and gone out. You got to be very careful with your sort of bad debt and how you manage it. But yes, I do think so. I think wherever you have a have and a have-not society, the need for a buy now, pay later product will definitely be there. And the way the economy is right now around the world, I think buy now, pay later products are going to become more and more popular. How those will look, I think they will differ in different markets. I think that there might be sort of in certain markets you might have to pay twice before you get goods. In other markets, you just take the goods. Depending on your credit rating, do they, in certain markets, they allow you to use buy now, pay later without a credit rating, which is a little bit dangerous in our economy. This to answer your question 100%, would we want to do it? I don't know about that. I think we'd use third parties to do that. I know that we do SME lending off balance sheet with a third party. We're going to be doing that here in SA as well. We do sort of enterprise lending, but that's on balance sheet. That's more your sort of mergers and acquisitions.
So, all right. So let's talk about Flutterwave and BNPL. Is that do you see that as an integration piece? So integrating a BNPL provider into the user experience when it comes to checkout, is that the model, or are you looking at maybe something a little bit different?
I think a bit of both, maybe depending on what industry. I would never say we'd never have our own, but generally the model would be you got an API and you sort of integrate into a BNPL product and you let the experts do what the experts are good at. If there was a market where we felt we could take that on balance sheet, then I'm sure we'd have a look at it. The other way is to acquire. If you really feel like it's a space that is going to grow, you acquire an existing BNPL business. And let them run their business. But in terms of the way we're going to do it here in SA is we will partner for now, unless there's a better option that comes up.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And then methods of payment. So we're spoiled for choice here in South Africa, right? I mean, we've got so many different ways to pay. And I was at a car park a few weeks ago in Cape Town, and I parked my car, I went to the machine, and I didn't have. I think I had SnapScan installed or the other one. I can't remember the other one.
Or Zapper.
Zapper. Sorry. I didn't have Zapper installed. Exactly. I didn't have my card with me because I didn't carry a wallet anymore, right? Because it's all on my phone. What a pain in the backside that was, right? I had to go walk half a mile down the road to a cash machine, had to do an F&B, transaction thing where you have to, get cash from, an SMS or something, go to a cash machine, get the money out, go back to the car. I mean, what a pain in the backside. But anyway, that aside, there's obviously multiple different ways of payments here in South Africa. Is Flutterwave going to be integrating with them all or a select few? And how do you decide who?
That's a good, very good question, that. Yes, as many as possible to the answer to that. Would we offer them all in one go? Possibly, maybe not. Depending on who we feel is the best in the industry, but you know your usual QR, you'd have options there. You'd have options bank to bank. You know, Google Pay, Apple Pay are both options on Flutterwave. The normal card acquiring, as I mentioned before, we're going to have a SME lending product on the back of Stock, which I think is a game changer. You know, too often the SMEs I mentioned before have been left out, and you know, if you're an SME and you want to borrow cash from the bank, you literally got to give your sort of your house, your boat, your wife, your kids, everything to the bank before they'll, you know, give you any money. So I think that's a big differentiator. And you know, as we go along, whatever payment methods come along, we'll add them to the suite of payments. I think you got to give, you know, consumers these days and merchants these days as many choices as possible. You know, in every market we're in, that's the real power of Flutterwave, in my opinion, is it's one API. And especially if you're a merchant that is cross-border, you do one API, you get all the payments in every single industry, in every single country that we're in, every territory. We're in 40 African countries now. So if you do one API integration, and let's say, for example, you're trading here in South Africa, and all of a sudden you expand into Nigeria, you don't need to do another API. You don't have to do integration again. It's done. All you do is you tick boxes in the back end and add payment methods as you go. One dashboard, different currencies in your dashboard. You can swap between currencies on your dashboard. It's really, really a great user experience.
Let's talk about that product you just mentioned in terms of, it sounds like a bit like an asset finance type offering. Can you just go through that a little bit more? So an SME has is an inventory and you loan against the inventory, or how does that work?
So effectively what will happen is these guys that we're partnering with have been doing this for years, actually, for SMEs. And so we partner with them, and what they do is they go in and, their theory is, and it's worked wonders for them, is that generally if you're an SME owner, you either a very good salesman or maybe you sort of good financially, but generally the one area where people aren't great is a stock. You're either overstocked or understocked. So they'll come in, they'll have a look, they'll use their algorithms, come in and say, right, these are the optimal times to buy stock. This is how much stock you need to store and to keep to make sure that you're running an optimal level, and they will then fund that. They won't necessarily fund it to the SME. They'll fund the provider, get stock in, and then we facilitate payment. So, and then we'll settle net. So effectively, anytime there's money in that account, we will then settle net if they owed the cash. So that's effectively.
It's kind of the new kind of drop shipping almost model, right?
Similar to that.
Yeah.
You're not funding the SME directly. You're doing it on the back of stock, which is effectively what all SMEs need. And they've got the algorithms that allow them to, if it's high risk or low risk merchant, whether how much they'll be willing to lend, how much they won't lend, whether they will or not. They've got those algorithms, which they and we bring them merchants.
Makes complete sense. If we look at sort of digital products then, because obviously digital is, you know, a huge part of the market, or certainly a massive growing part of the market. And we look at, you know, those companies who are offering digital services. Do you see that as a trend moving upwards? Do you see that, again, a bit of a race to the bottom in terms of value that, you know, a PSP can offer to that sort of merchant? Or where does that sit?
I think there's a market for it, certainly. Will everyone do it? I don't think so. I think there'll be two or three players that'll do it, and they'll do it well. I think you kind of answered it yourself. I think it maybe is a little bit of a race to the bottom in terms of but yes, to answer your question, it is certainly a need. But I think that there'll be two or three players that'll do that, that play that game well.
And then I suppose my other question, I appreciate, you know, one of the companies you used to work for, this is their business in terms of instant EFT. I think the regulations changing, screen scraping now becoming a thing of the past. We've got PayShap that have, you know, recently launched here in South Africa. Okay, at the moment it's P2P, but I think there will be a merchant play at some point. Where do you see this sort of instant EFT market? Because I've always been surprised at how popular it is as a payment method here in South Africa.
Look, I think that it's been fantastic over the last 10 years. Well, let's call it 7 to 10 years. Other places call bank-to-bank. Yeah, it's called instant EFT. The sort of word in the streets, the dark word, is screen scraping. The banks don't like screen scraping. The only issue I have with screen scraping itself or instant EFT businesses is the fact that they don't guarantee payment. That's my only issue with it. Does it work in certain industries? 100%. If you look at your sort of high risk, high volume industries, it's a no brainer to have it. You're looking at betting, for example. Online sports betting. I mean, those are the instant EFT's biggest clients because you can top your wallet up and they say the money's there immediately. It's not. It still takes a while to settle, but you can instantly top up wallets. When you've got trading platforms, it works well. The crypto platforms, it works well. So there are, certain areas where it does work very well. Do I think it is a great product for retail? No. And the reason why I say that is because it you can't guarantee payment. You can have payments reversed. You can have, payments not settling or, as I said, reversed back into the user's account, and then you're having to scramble to get the money back. So I think it is a good method of payment for certain industries. I do agree with you. I think screen scraping itself won't be what it is in, let's call it 18 months' time, maybe a bit longer than that. I think that the banks bringing out their own APIs. I mean, we say PayShop. I think it's got a long way to go. I think the one that really disrupted them was Capitec Pay. Capitec bringing out their own bank-to-bank product. That really shook up the industry. Also, it's the biggest bank for the screen scraping businesses. I mean, as much as 65% of their business goes through Capitec Bank. So, that was a big disruptor. I'm not sure you can ever stop screen scraping. I think that the way screen scraping is being used very well in other territories is getting information. So, for example, if you have a business, a lending business, then you'll have a screen scraping business that will then go in and have a look and see, they can pull people's with their consent, they can go pull 6 months bank statements, for example, and they do it real time. And those their APIs can then quickly work out how much you can afford. That area, I think you can look to play when it comes to screen scraping. But in terms of direct payments, I think that the screen scrapers, I know they are the big players, your sort of Ozos and the likes. They are looking to move out of the traditional screen scraping and partner with banks that have APIs. I mean, the problem with the African banks is they haven't had the APIs. With Ozo especially, they've been looking to integrate into banking APIs for the last 3-4 years, but those APIs just weren't there. I think that is changing. I think APIs are coming out now. I think that the bank-to-bank providers are going to start thinking out the box a little bit more. I think that a lot of the banks will use the Ozos of this world to understand the bank-to-bank world a bit better. I don't think they get the whole aggregation model at all. I think that that's one of the areas where Capitec are going to have a few problems is aggregating funds and settling. That can be a challenging game to play. But it's going to be interesting to watch that space in particular go forward. That's why I think, if you want to be a proper player in the game, you've got to have more than one option, one payment option. You've got to have many. Offer, your customers or end customers and your merchants as many options as possible.
And then talking about payment options, and I ask everyone this question just because I have a personal interest in it. Crypto. Could be something that Flutterwave offers in terms of a payment mechanism?
Not at the moment, but I wouldn't say never. I'm a bit of an amateur crypto geek. But when I say amateur, I'm talking real amateur. So don't ask me too technical questions around it. I think that money is going that way. And when I say money, I'm talking about anything that you're going to trade with is going that way. I think that eventually money will become unregulated, especially if you have, I think it's going to move towards one currency. Certainly. And I think it's going to be some sort of blockchain, some sort of, it won't be the money as we know it. Will that happen in my lifetime? I don't know. Things move quickly. I don't see Bitcoin as it is right now playing as big as sort of taking market as quickly as I thought it would 2 years ago. I thought 2 years ago it was going to take it by storm and we're all going to be paying by Bitcoin in, you know, in 18 months. I was proven wrong there. I think once it's regulated a bit more now, it will eventually become unregulated, as I mentioned. But once it becomes regulated a bit more, then you can, and also it's only in-country. I think cross-border Bitcoin's going to be take a while. But if you can have it sort of a coin of sorts, let's take a, a crypto coin. Have a crypto coin from crypto.com, have a crypto coin in SA. You can use an SA bank account top up, but you've got to cash out into an SA bank account. That can work because then you can sort of, you can monitor it a bit better and regulate it a bit better. But I think it's going to take a while before it takes over as the main form of currency.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think there is a play. It's going to be interesting what happens in the next couple of years with CBDCs. We've also got, you know, a pilot project running here in South Africa. There's various other ones across the continent. We've got the eNaira now sort of in circulation, if that's the correct term. I don't know whether digital currency can be circulated. I suppose it can. But and then we've got, you know, the banknotes that were printed by the SARB here, which was spelt wrong, which was rather amusing. So
I've heard it wasn't actually a spelling mistake. No, I don't know. And they got some, some guru that turned around and said, no, there's different ways to spell it. So it's not a spelling
mistake. Of course there is.
Sure.
Of course there is. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so look, interesting future. I think, you know, there's a lot of innovation still to happen within payments, right? And, you know, if we can get the you know, underserved markets, the lower LSM digitized, being able to transact, you know, online, you know, using PSPs like Flutterwave, then it opens a whole nother market for, you know, either digital services, you know, when we look at the Spotify's and the Netflixes and DSTVs and what have you, but all the way through to, you know, what I would call proper e-com, you know, the Amazons or the Takealots of this world. I think there's still a long way to go in terms of the logistics around that, certainly in some parts of the continent and some parts of South Africa. Is how do you get to the door? I think we did touch on this in that panel, but the acoustics were so bad, I literally couldn't hear the guy sitting next to me. So I have no idea what you said about that. I'm sure it was great, but I had no idea what you said.
Sure. Look, I think, and that's one thing Flutterwave do, is we want to service the SME specifically. And it doesn't only have to be SME, it can be enterprise as well, but from end to end. So we also got our own marketplace. So we've got Flutterwave Store, which merchants can use as their e-commerce backend, which we bring into SA as well, which is, I mean, it's just an incredible backend. You know, to answer your question, yes, I think that, look, we've seen in SA in particular, e-commerce since COVID has gone, I mean, through the roof. I mean, even myself, who was incredibly backward before COVID, I mean, I like to go to the shop and fetch my groceries. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but I like to do that. Whereas now, I don't remember the last time I was in a grocery store. You know, 60/60 has completely revolutionized the way that we do delivery in South Africa. I mean, it's incredible. I order now. I mean, the other day I ordered and 35 minutes later, it was at my front door. You know, it was even within the hour. It wasn't, you know, on the hour. So, you know, they've changed the way that you know, delivery and e-commerce should work in South Africa. It has worked in other areas, but to your point, you know, outlying areas very difficult to get goods to. You know, other parts of Africa that don't have the infrastructure that we have, you know, it can be difficult. But I think more and more governments, the private sector are building infrastructure in these areas. And like I said before, I mean, Africa is uncharted territory in a lot of ways when it comes to you know, commerce, e-commerce, and digitization. And it is the next frontier. I think you're going to be finding, well, you already are finding a lot of businesses. You even take your Visas and your MasterCards. I mean, they've taken the whole American market. They can't go anywhere there unless they start, you know, taking each other's businesses. If they take business from each other, it's the only way that they can actually get business. If you go into Europe, same thing. You know, you go into Asia. Well, that's a different topic because wallets taken over there with a vengeance. But you know, Africa is the one area where it's still untapped and there's market to be taken. So you know, a lot of money, a lot of effort, and a lot of passion's going to go into e-commerce, digitization, and payments in Africa in the next 10 years. Definitely, there's no doubt.
So when's the relaunch party? I'm going to go and you will definitely
be getting your invite. You will definitely be getting your invite. Don't worry about that. And I'm pretty sure it'll be in the Cape. So you have to come and join me somewhere there. I'll let you know. I've got the date, but I just haven't thrown it out there yet.
Yeah, no, fair enough. All right, well, I certainly look forward to that and following the journey of Flutterwave here in South Africa. Paul, listen, thanks so much. I was really toying with how many kind of cricket analogies can I get into this conversation. But as I said at the beginning, I know nothing about cricket, so you'll have to do. I could have thrown some football things in there, but it probably would have gone straight over your head. So, yeah.
No, football's not my area of expertise. I must admit, I've been watching quite a bit of the IPL for the first time in a long time. So it's been quite nice to actually watch some cricket again. My son's of the age where he really is enjoying it now. So I've been watching a bit with him. And I've sort of found the love for it again. You know, you fall in love. When you play sport as much as I did, you kind of fall in and out of love with the sport as you go on in your life.
Sure.
And for a long period of time, I fell out of love of cricket. But it seems like that love is coming back a bit more now. So I'm watching a bit more, and it's actually great watching my son play.
So you're gonna dust off the pads, and
no.
Is there a seniors tour or no?
No, there was one that I was invited to now in India, and I said to them, guys, come on, my time has come and gone. It's now someone else's turn
to pick up the bat.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. I got one in there at the end. Listen, Paul, thanks so much.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of Talking Success. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for this fascinating discussion on all things fintech. We hope you've enjoyed this episode and have gained some valuable insights into the ever-evolving world of finance and technology. A huge thank you to our guests for sharing their expertise and providing us with some amazing insights. We certainly couldn't have done this without them. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting conversations with experts in the field. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep talking success.